Today, I'm going to be speaking to God's children, you. And we're going to be looking at just what it means to live by faith in a very real sense. Because one of the things that we have to do to live by faith is we need to see God spiritually see where He is. And then we need to go where He is and be part with Him. And today, I'm going to be asking you to do something because I honestly believe God's moving in this church. I've seen Him moving in this church. The elders have seen Him moving in this church. And we have all agreed that this is where God has us. Missions is an important part of who we're supposed to be. And by that, I don't necessarily mean they're going to Nicaragua. I don't necessarily mean supporting Denny. It is all those things, but it's much, much more. Because one of the greatest points of seeing where God is and then getting there yourself means we have to let our stuff behind. How many of you are willing to just throw away all your stuff and follow God? No, you're not. Every one of us hangs on to what we have. Proof in that? How many of you still have everything you had when you came into this church? Did you put it in the offering basket? No, you didn't. Why? Because you need it, so you think. And it's amazing, because some of you right now are thinking to yourself, but Pastor, I have given Him everything. No, you haven't, because you still have what you have in your bank accounts. You still have your cars. You still have your houses. If you remember in the book of Acts, it says that when they came together, they sold their lands, they sold their properties, and gave everything they had to the church. And then the church divided it out. You see, they saw where God was moving, and they went there. They gave up their stuff, and they took up the Father's. And that's one of the places where the church would love to be. They would love to have all your stuff, and then they would get to use it for whatever they wanted. But how many men in the church would truly be responsible enough that you would want to do that with? I'll guarantee you right now, the number is very few. Okay? I think of people like Billy Graham. I would trust him. I know he would do great things with it, right? There are a couple of others that I could name, but there wouldn't be a whole lot because I wouldn't even put my own name on that list because I know who I am, and I know I still have a long way to go. So today, we're going to be looking about what it means to be seeing God and then moving to where He is, because if we're not moving to where God is, then we're asking God to bless our mess. And how much of a blessing do you think we're going to get there? And I think it's one of the most amazing things because that's what we as Christians do. But God wants us to move to where He is. So if you would, open your scriptures today. We're going to be in the book of Romans. That's where we're going to start anyhow. We're going to start in Romans chapter 1. And we all know the book of Romans has a lot of doctrine in it. In fact, a lot of the doctrines and theologies from our scriptures come out of the book of Romans. Because Paul delineates a lot of what we are to do and how we are to live in the book of Romans. It's one of the most replete letters when it comes to doctrine and theology of the Christian faith. And we're going to be beginning in verse 16. And the reason I'm doing that is because I want to take a full counsel here of God's word towards where we're going. Because one of the things that we need to remember, and Miss Dottie even spoke of it here just a little bit earlier, is verse 16. And verse 16 says thus, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, 'But the righteous man shall live by faith.' For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor Him as God or give thanks, But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became fools and exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. As we understand these words and pull them into our lives, we understand that God is looking at us and we're looking at God from a perspective of a fallen person. And it's understanding that God wants us in Christ Jesus to realize we are no longer fallen and we're to see Him differently. Now, the awesome thing is, whether we want to admit it or not, prior to coming to Christ, we knew God existed. Each and every one of us knew. The world knows God exists. That's why they are fighting so hard against Him. That's why we see the struggles in our world to abolish God from everything. Because if they can do that by man's law, who then are they worshiping? The creature rather than the Creator. So as we look at this, I have to ask the question, verses 19 and 20, this is our main text, okay, verses 19 and 20, so let's look at these again. It says, because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them, for since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes, His eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. What does this mean? What is God telling us here? Well, I don't want to tell you what He's telling us. We've already been singing about it. Miss Sally chose some wonderful songs that spoke about God putting the stars in place and the sun and the moon. But what does God's Word have to say? Turn to Psalm number 19. Turn to Psalms number 19. And look at verses 1 through 6. Verses 1 through 6. Oh my heavens, I'm sitting here looking at this saying, that's not right. Yeah, I'm in the wrong book. I was in Proverbs. Starts with a P, but that's about all it had to say. Psalms 19. The heavens are telling of the glory of God, and their expanse is declaring the work of His hands. Day to day pours forth speech, and night to night reveals knowledge. There is no speech, nor are there words. Their voice is not heard. Their line has gone out through all the earth, and their utterances to the end of the world. In them He has placed a tent for the sun, which is a bridegroom coming out of His chamber. It rejoices as a strong man to run his course. Its rising is from one end of the heavens, and its circuit to the other end of them, and there is nothing hid from its heat. As we see these words, we see that even in the very creation itself, when we look at the grandeur of it, we have to understand that there's a designer. There's a designer. When we understand the very principles of nature itself, nothing comes into being by accident. I have never seen them blow up a Colosseum and all of a sudden an apartment building came out of it. It doesn't happen that way. They say the Big Bang Theory is what created all this, and it took millions of years. Well, you notice we got to wave our hands because that's magic. I don't have to wave my hands, and I don't have to take millions of years because God spoke it into being from the very power of His might. And it was, and it is, and He said in the very beginning, it is good. Now, is it good any longer? No, because of sin entering in. Because man has looked away from the Creator to the created. And he's tried to make himself as God. Because isn't that what the serpent said to Eve? For God knows that when you eat of it, you will be what? Like Him. Isn't that the lie Satan said in heaven that got him kicked out? I will be like God. And he's trying to perpetuate it on us. And we've bought the lie. But what we need to understand is God wants us to see him where he is and get involved with him rather than being involved in what we want. Because what we want is not important. But what God wants is important. So as we understand this word, turn to Acts 17 for a further understanding of the word. In Acts 17, we're going to see some things going on here that we need to be a part of, that we need to reckon in our own lives and bring into our existence as the Apostle Paul did. From Acts chapter 17, beginning in the 23rd verse. Now this is an amazing phenomena because this is where I'm getting into the meat of what it means to see God where he is and then get yourself there, okay? For Paul is talking here. Paul is in Rome, okay? He's in Greece. And he's talking to the people there. He says, "For while I was passing through, examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, 'To an unknown God.' Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made by hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things." Paul goes on from there to explain who this God is. And he's getting them to understand that even in their own perverted religion, they knew that there was something missing because they put up this idol to the unknown God. Now their thinking was, maybe there might be a God that we don't know about and we don't want to offend him or her. So we're going to put this thing up just in case we didn't cover all our bases. Because they weren't quite sure that the gods that they had numbered were all that were there. It's the same way in our hearts as we are outside of God in this world. We will put gods out there before the true God. They're called work. They're called family. They're called money. They're called power. They're called prestige. All of these things we build into gods, including the worst God of all, the God of self. Because truly the God of self tears it all down. But even in the self, we know that we are not our own creator. We know that we came about as a race in some other fashion. And we can see it here as these people themselves put this altar up. And we do the same thing, and our world does the same thing. They put altars up to the alter ego of self, just in case. So as we are understanding what Paul is doing here, I want you to think about what Paul did. Paul saw God at work. Where was Paul at this point in time? Well, Paul was on his missionary journeys. Paul was going through the reality of going out there as God was sending him out. So if he was sent, do you think he was sent because he wanted to go or because God wanted him to go? God wanted him to go. How many of us does God want us to go somewhere or do something? And we know it. We know it beyond any doubt. God wants us to be out there. God wants us to do something. But we're just like, that's okay, but not right now because I have other plans. And your plans just don't kind of fit into mine. So let me work on my plans a little bit. And once I get established, then I'll start thinking about what you want for me. Anybody ever been there? Anybody there now? And God has other plans. I remember when he met Richie Dubs. Met him in a machine shop. Put him on his knees. But you see, that wasn't good enough. Because even though he won my heart at that time, he didn't win my mind. And if the heart and the mind aren't connected, you ain't there yet. It took him years from the age of 18 to the age of 32 until he got my heart. How did he get my heart? Through pain and suffering. Through pain and suffering. I lost my dad. My son was diagnosed with cancer. I lost my father-in-law, who became my dad. And finally, I was broken. The song we sang today. Broken pieces. Broken pieces. You see, God has a way of taking those broken pieces that truly are our lives and we're trying to build something out of, and He can make a life out of it. But we got to go where He is. We can't stay where we are and expect God to bless the mess that we're in. He's calling us out of that mess. He's calling us out of the world and into His kingdom. And you see, that's one of the problems with our world today. Our world wants to stay in their mess and ask God to bless it all and somehow attain heaven. And God says, I can't go there. That is the sewer of life. Now, you're going to think that's pretty strange or pretty strong wording, but how many of you know your former life outside of Christ to truly be the cesspool of life? It's where your sins abounded and you enjoyed that life. You thought it was the best thing since sliced bread until they put butter on it. But now in Christ Jesus, you realize there's something better, there's something more. But in order to take that something more to the next step, we have to see God. Well, folks, the Scripture is replete with the reality that everywhere we look, we can see God. You know, we sang a song here just a little bit ago that said that every tumult, every wind that blows is from God. Well, we turn on channel 21 or channel 8 or channel 15 or whatever channel you happen to turn on, and we watch the weatherman, right? And the weatherman tells us that there's a cold front coming down from Canada, and there's a warm front coming up from the south, you know, from Louisiana, and they're going to meet right over us, and we're going to get a nor'easter. So we know that it's not God. It's simply high fronts and low fronts, and they're moving across our earth because of the jet stream. We can explain it all scientifically, right? We forget God is the science. No, God is the power behind the science. God created science. God put this world into motion, and God controls it. I think it's amazing when we sit down and we start to look at our world and how much turmoil there is in our world today. Are we literally seeing God move in the hand of discipline and we're not understanding it anymore? I believe the book of Hebrews has something to say about that. Hebrews in the 12th chapter tells us that we are to endure hardship as discipline, for we are being disciplined as children. For if we're illegitimate children, then we'll not be disciplined. But as children, we will be disciplined. So God brings things into our lives. Okay, you all know my story. You all know what happened to me. You were part of my life when God kept me yet here again on this earth after a car accident. Because I walked outside of God's will. I wanted to do something that it was not time for me to do yet. I wanted to leave, and God said, you're not going anywhere. Now, I could have simply looked at that and said, well, that was a drunk driver that hit me, and that would have been the end of it, because that's what our world does. But the amazing thing is, I don't see with worldly eyes. I see now in Christ Jesus with spiritual eyes. And what do I see in that accident? Three pastors in two cars colliding. One pastor's life was taken. One pastor's life was on the verge. And another pastor was emotionally damaged more so than anything else. And still is. The one died, went on to glory. The one had the opportunity to choose how he was going to look at this, what he was going to take. In fact, so did the other. But I chose wisely, as I see it. I chose wisely. And I chose to hear and obey God and to take my time down as a time of punishment, as a time of understanding, because that's what punishment is. That's what suffering is. Jesus suffered for us, and we need to suffer for our Lord. We need to understand it's not all going to be a bed of roses out there following God and going the direction He wants us to go. It's going to get uncomfortable at times. In fact, there are sometimes it's downright going to hurt, because God needs to change who we are from the inside out. It's easier to learn a thing correctly the first time around than it is to learn it twice. Because the second time, you've got to unlearn everything you know and relearn everything you're supposed to know. Now, I have to ask you folks, how many of us like going to school? Not that school. I'm talking the school of life. It's a hard place out there, isn't it? And it will chew you up and spit you out. But the awesome thing is, if we look at it in God's eyes, He says to us what? To those who love me, I will work everything to good. So the worst situations in your life can have the greatest outcome. The hardest things that have focused into you, that have brought you to a point of turmoil, that you are so upset with yourself and everyone else, you're mad at God, are some of the greatest places to meet Him. Because it's there as you wrestle, as Jacob wrestled with God on the other side of the river. And he wrestled with Him how long? Until morning. And then God touched his thigh. That was the only way he could stop the fight. No, God could have stopped the fight at any moment. But God touched his thigh, and in an instant, the fight was over, because he was lame. He never healed from that. You do understand that, right? He never healed from that. But he went on from there to know that he wrestled with God and that he was marked. Are you marked? Can people see the evidence of the Holy Spirit in your life? Can they see the seal that marks you as God's? Can they see that you are looking beyond the norm and into the spiritual world where you can discern what God's doing in the lives of the people and the community around you? Do we even care as a people what God is doing in the community and the world around us, or even in our own lives? Or are we so filled with self that we're just out there following our own desires wherever it may lead, and we're saying, oh, God bless my mess. Of course, we're not saying, bless my mess, are we? But we're asking God to step into it. God did step into it on the cross of Calvary. And He's pulled us out of it. Are we going to stay on the right path? Are we going to look to Him and find that help and hope? There's a book out here that I love, and I brought it with me today, because this book is a book that I highly recommend to every one of you. And if you've already read it once, please read it again. I have two copies, but I can't find my other one, so I brought my paperback. It's called Experiencing God. It says, How to Live the Full Adventure of Knowing and Doing the Will of God. It's by Henry T. Blackaby and Claude V. King. It was on the bestsellers list for quite some time. And it's a book that I highly recommend that every Christian should read. If you really, truly want to know how to see God spiritually and then move to where He is, please write this information down, get this book, and then read it. The awesome thing is, this book has more scripture quoted in it than almost any book I read for theology classes. And this is a how-to, kind of, because everything that he says in here is so real. And I think this is kind of amazing, because to me, I love this book for one very particular reason. The very back of this book, on just before the closing remarks, I had been reading this book for almost 3 years. That's how long it took me to read it. Okay, because when I read a book like this, I read it and then God makes me live it. God makes me work through it. And it took a long time because I wasn't right with Him. But till I got to the end of the book, this is what I read. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes, and I shall keep it to the end. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with all my heart. Make me walk in the path of your commands, for I delight in it. That's Psalms 119, 33 through 35. Those very scriptures, when I read them, because God had been talking to my heart and I didn't know what he was saying. I couldn't understand what he was saying. As soon as I read those scriptures, the key unlocked it all. And I realized what he was telling me. He was telling me that I needed to go to school. Teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. He was teaching me that I needed to change my life completely and totally to be upended unto him, and I shall keep it to the end. He was teaching me and showing me that I need to not only be a student of the Word, but a worker of the Word. Give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Indeed, I shall observe it with my whole, what? Mind? No, heart. That's talking about a love relationship. God wanted me to enter into a deeper love relationship than I ever could know. And I did. I said, yes, Lord, I want to go there. So I went. Then he says, make me walk. This is the psalmist saying this. Make me walk in the path of your commands. And all of a sudden I realized when God called me into ministry, I was 18 years old. And I had no idea what he was calling me into. And then when I started seeing what it was, I said, I ain't going there. And I left. At the age of 32, he brought that call back. And I started going to college. And that's when I read this. And I understood that that call was never revoked, but that he was prepping me to be able to answer it, to be able to understand and to grow into the knowledge of God. And I was now ready to move where he was. I wasn't ready before, but now I was, and I moved. And now I can say the last phrase, for I delight in it. You know, it wasn't until God allowed me to get aligned with him that I could delight in him, because God challenged me to let my stuff behind. And I wanted my stuff. I wanted my farm. I wanted the pigs and the cows and the chickens and the 12 and a half acres and, you know, all that stuff that went with it, the tractors and all that stuff. I was playing farmer, Farmer John. And God said, no, that's what you built. Give your life to me, and I'll build a community around you. Give your life to me, and I'll teach you that pigs and cattle and chickens have no value, but human souls are the greatest crop that could ever be harvested. And to this day, I'm tilling up ground. I'm planting seeds. And yeah, I'm spreading manure too. Don't we all? And in it, I'm watching a church grow. Because one man lined himself up with where God was. Am I the only man that that's ever happened to? No. No. From this book, and I'm going to read some quotes. From this book, you'll hear things like this. And like I said, I really want you to read this. When God speaks to you, revealing what he is about to do, that revelation is your invitation to adjust your life to him. Once you have adjusted your life to him, his purposes and his ways, you are in a position to obey. You see, we cannot obey God until we are in a position that he has chosen. While we're in our stuff, we are in disobedience, are we not? Yes, we are. So once we begin to get right with him, now God will begin to make things right in our lives. But there's something that we have to understand, that we are not going to be able to stay where we were and continue with God. We have got to make adjustments. We have got to move to where he is. I want you to think about it. Noah. How could he continue on in his life as things were and build the ark at the same time. He had to give up everything he was doing and start work on the ark. How long did it take him and his boys to build that big, big thing? 120 years. 120 years. That's longer than you and I live today. How about Moses? Moses could not stay on the backside of the desert herding sheep and stand before Pharaoh at the same time. How could he be with God and not be where God was? He couldn't. How about the apostle Peter, Andrew, James, and John? They had to leave their fishing businesses in order to follow Christ. How many of us are willing to give up what we now have and know to go where God wants us to go? How many of us are willing to be like Paul, who was Saul, who had to completely change the direction in his life in order to be used of God to preach the gospel to the Gentiles? And we're reading part of that right now, looking here in the book of Acts. Here Paul was persecuting the church, only to get knocked off his horse, and we all know the story, to be changed by God in an instant, and to become the apostle to the Gentiles. Paul thought he was doing what was God's will, didn't he? Because he was a Jew. They knew God. They were God's chosen people. But they had rejected the Messiah. How many people in this world have rejected the Messiah? How many of us, because we're not doing God's will, we're not obeying God, are rejecting our Messiah? Do you ever realize that? When we see God moving, we need to go where He is. One of my favorite scriptures speaks of that reality. One of my favorite scriptures, and most of you know it, but I'll let you turn there, because it begins with where we need to be. Turn to Jeremiah 29. Jeremiah 29. Beginning in verse 11. It's on the bottom of my business cards. It's on the bottom of my emails. You see, God grabbed a hold of my heart and He said, "Buddy, you need to understand this. You need to get a hold of this, because if you can get a hold of this, you will live a life of hope. You will live a life of prosperity." Now, I'm not talking that I'm going to become a millionaire, but I'll tell you right now, I think it's funny. They say, you know, people come up to me and they'll say, "Rich, how are you doing?" I'll say, "Man, I am my namesake." And they just look at me and I'll tell them, "I am rich." And I'll say, "Really? How much money you got?" I'll look at them and say, "None. But I am rich in love, in life, and in the prosperity of God's grace." Here's the word of the Lord. "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you search for me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. And I will restore your fortunes and gather you from all the nations and all the places where I have driven you, declares the Lord. And I will bring you back to the place from where I sent you into exile." Folks, that's looking all the way back to Genesis. Because Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden. They were in a place of perfection. And in Christ Jesus, we come back to that place of perfection, for eternity is ours. Yes, we're going to live on this earth. But when we love God with all our hearts, with all our soul, and with all our might, and love our neighbor as ourselves, Jesus says these are the two greatest commands. For all of the law is wrapped up, all the law and the prophets is wrapped up in them. When we love God to that point, because it's a love relationship, it's nothing else, it's not out of obedience, it's not out of dutiful duty, because that's works. It's out of a love relationship that we build that reckoning, that we can see God where He is, and then move there, go there, be there, and find our purpose in life. Many of us have put a purpose into our lives. How many of us can say, well, yep, I am where I am because this is where I'm supposed to be? Can you say that? Yeah, most of us can. The reality is, are you sure? Are you sure? I thought I was for 18 years in a machine shop. Actually, it was 19 years. 19 years in the machine shop, I thought I was. I was right where God wanted me to be. I was making money. I was making money. I was happy. So I thought, until life came in, until life really showed up. Guess how happy I am now? I'm going to say this, and I don't mean to offend anybody, all right? But sheep make a mess. Did you ever walk into a sheep pen, Mitch? Never been in a sheep pen? What's that? You can imagine? Okay. What do sheep do all over the place, wherever they want? They make a mess. Poop. Guess what, sheep? You're making a mess. And the awesome thing is, I get to walk through it with you. And I'm happy. I'm happy. Why? Because as much of a mess as you're making is as much as God loves you to walk through that mess with you, to help you find that place where you are no longer just a sheep, but you yourself become a shepherd, that other sheep will come around you, and you'll get to lead them. You see, we are a priesthood of peoples, okay? Each and every one of us is a minister to the gospel of Jesus Christ. We are all shepherds. He takes us from being a sheep, because you have to be a sheep in order to understand sheep, right? And then He makes us into shepherds. But the reality is, we're still a sheep ourselves. So does pastor go around pooping too? You betcha. I make messes everywhere too. Some of the people on the internet right now are probably thinking, oh my gosh, I can't believe he's talking about that. And some of you right now are thinking, oh my goodness, I can't believe he's talking about that. But am I lying? But the amazing thing is, when the sheep see where the shepherd is, what do? They don't run away, they go to the shepherd. When the shepherd walks out, this is one of the most amazing things I've ever seen. When the shepherd goes out before his sheep, why do you think the sheep follow him? You don't drive sheep. You lead sheep. Why? Because there's a love relationship between that sheep and that shepherd. Because the sheep knows that that shepherd is going to protect them when they need protected. That shepherd is going to lead them beside quiet waters. That shepherd is going to lead them to green pastures. That shepherd is going to lead them to rest and peace. And that's a love relationship. Psalm 23. Do I make this stuff up? I can't make it up. It's too good to be true, right? It is true. But we need to see the shepherd, and we, the sheep, need to follow him. What happens to a sheep that goes its own way? The wolves attack, the bears attack, the lions attack. That's the world. And we get ourselves into briars and brambles and we get stuck. And if you think about Abraham, what happened to the ram that got stuck where he was? It became a sacrifice. How many of us want to be sacrificed to this world? I don't make this stuff up. It's too good to be true. I want you to think about where God is in your life. And I want you to get lined up with Him. There are three things that I want you to remember. And all these things are put in this scriptures. And please get this book, Experiencing God, because it explains it. The first thing you need to remember is, if you want to find God's will, if you truly want to see where God is and then get lined up with Him, you have to have a love relationship. A true love relationship. Number two, you must move to Him. You cannot stay where you are and expect God to bless your mess. God wants to call you out of your mess and put you in the pasture of His choosing. And third, we need to be obedient to what we already know? How many of us today are obedient to everything we know in the Scriptures? And we wonder why God's not blessing us. We say to ourselves, God, I'm a good person. Really? If you break one of God's laws, how much of it have you broken? All of it. So until we start getting it right in our lives that we are obeying God for what we already know, do you think He's going to give us more? He doesn't want people coming into our mess. He doesn't want to add insult to injury, because He knows if we're not able to obey now, if we're not able to handle what we have now, and He puts more on top of the pile, are we going to sing joy? Or are we going to stand around saying, oh my gosh, this is too much work. Look at all the stuff we got to do. We got to put these things up and tear these things down. How many more chairs are we going to have to put up around this place? Takes us a half hour to tear down now. Beg pardon? Complain and remain. What I look at is every time I hear that kind of stuff, it's blah, blah, blah. It's a bunch of sheep hollering in the wind. But you're exactly right. But when we're able to see that God wants to move us into greener pastures, He wants you to let that stuff go and come to be where He is. And when we can find Him, what does He say we'll find when we find Him? My peace I give you, not as the world gives you. My peace, perfect peace, rest, and promise. Living by faith means seeing God where He is and then moving to Him. Let's start to live by faith. Let's start to move out of our comfort zones. And to that avail, I have a challenge for you. Behind me is a box, and I picked these up. I didn't pick them up. Brother David did. I just picked these up out of the box is what I meant. These are tracts. Every tract is stamped with the Heart of Christ Church with our information on it. All right? I want every person here who has the breath of life in them to take three. Three. Between now and Easter, I want you to invite three people to church. How many times do you go to the mini market? How many times do you pull up to the window at McDonald's? How many times do you pay tolls on the turnpike? How many times do you leave a tip for a waitress in a restaurant? It's real easy. Hand these to somebody and ask them, what are you doing this Easter? I'd like to invite you to a church service. Do you know what Easter's all about? I'd like to invite you to a church service. You're worth everything to God. I'd like to invite you to a church service. One sentence. It's all you have to speak. And if you don't want to speak it, and it's a waitress that you're going to give it to, write a little note. The money is yours, but here's an even better tip. God loves you. Love to see you at church. Brother David. Oh, yeah, don't forget to tell them the time it starts. Yep. But I'm going to challenge each of you, because I know God's been working in this church. We have been talking about this for how long, Miss Sally? Almost since we've been a church. That we need to be out there bringing people into this body, letting them know that God loves them. And today, I'm setting that challenge out before you. I'm done talking. Because you see, the shepherd can only talk so much. And then he has to get out his staff and his rod. That's what the shepherd did to me. I don't want the shepherd to do that to you. Are we going to be obedient? Are we going to love him? Are we going to follow where he is? Are we going to do what he's asking us? Are we going to do what he's showing us? Are we going to move where we know God's moving? God wants this church to grow. He's called it the Heart of Christ Church. And we all know how we came into being. It wasn't an accident. It was a happening. And you're part of it. Let's continue it growing. Because if we don't, we're going to become sedentary, and we're going to become an idle church, and idle churches die. It's that simple. People will say, but Pastor, isn't that your job? No, it is not and never has been. The Apostle Paul was a missionary. He went out and grew the church. Peter, James, John, most of them didn't go very far. They kind of stayed in the local areas. Now, we know Peter went to Rome. We know James went as far as he actually went to Rome. John went up into Turkey and some other areas. So did Paul. So we know they moved around, and yes, they actually grew the church. But once those churches started, the people within the churches then went out and spoke to their neighbors and their friends. And that's what I'm asking you to do. This is the example of the church being the church. Do you see God moving in somebody's life in your neck of the woods? How many of you know people who are going through hard times right now, and you know God is trying to get their attention? Give them directions on how to find Him. That's what our life is about. I want you to take three. There's a whole box of them up here. I don't want anybody to leave without taking three. I want to see them disappear. And that includes the people in the back. You all take three, there will be about, what, 30 left? 40 left? With who's here today? So, and do me a favor, Missy, take three for Chuck. Okay? If somebody's not here that's normally here with you, you've got a son that's not here, take three for him. He works at a place where he can hand them out. No, don't have him do that. But I want you to get active. Find where God is in your lives and meet Him there and see if God will not prove Himself. God will not be found a liar. That's His promise. I'm not making this up. I cannot stand in God's place, but I stand under His Word. So today, make it a priority to find where God is in your life and get involved where He is. Can you do that? Can we do that as a church? Because if we can't, we will fail. That's not a question. That's a reality. Let us pray. Father God, we thank You that You do show us where You are, that You do show us that You have put Your being into everything that is. Lord, every time we walk outside and we see the sunrise, every time we see the flowers bloom in the spring, they let us know, God, that You do exist, that You care, and that You want us to be involved with Your creation, not worshiping it, but worshiping You, and having a part of You in our lives, being a part of You in our lives, not asking You to bless our mess, but to get out of our mess. So, Father God, as we go forth from this place this day, I pray that You would move in the life of every person here, that as they take these tracts and they go out there and they give them out, in obedience to Your Word, Lord, in obedience to Your truth, Lord, for You said, go. And Lord, may we go. May we go with the power of Your Holy Spirit. May we go with the protection of Your angels. May we go with a hedge of Your love and abiding around us, that as we walk into the darkness, Your Holy Spirit would illuminate it, that the light of Christ would be seen, and that every life that is touched by that light would truly be transformed to the heart of Jesus Christ. That's who we are. That's who we're meant to be. Because we may come as a church, but we leave as children of the Most High God. Transformed hearts, obeying Christ's commands. We give thee thanks and praise, O Lord, in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And all God's children said,
you have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.